We live in a day, the Bible speaks of it as a day of falling away. And where people are falling away, at the same time there are people being established and set and readied for whatever may come. And I, on a positive note, I believe that the Lord, He's seeking. He is grasping the heart of those that will to be ready for His coming. He's going to give them, I believe He's going to give them everything, as Peter says, everything that pertaineth unto righteousness. He's going to give them every resource that will enable them to stand in that fearful day. And of course, the Bible says, in standing, to stand. And so, I've got a little presentation right here. It's about the travels of Lehi and his family. And this ought to strengthen your faith. Not because I put it together, not because I'm doing it right here, but there are things here that you can grab hold of. There are things that you may not have ever known about the Book of Mormon, or known about Lehi and Nephi's little journey. And so what it's going to cover, it's going to cover the first five chapters of the Book of Mormon. And I've just gone through those first five chapters, and I just hit little mountaintops as we pass through that. Right there is one of them. As it came to pass that Lehi, filled with the Spirit of God, and he read, saying the words of God, "Woe, woe unto Jerusalem, for I've seen thine abominations." All right, he's living in town. He's living in Jerusalem, and we don't really have a whole lot of information as how long he lived, but we got enough information to understand that he was a well-established citizen of Jerusalem. Been there for a long time, based on the fact that when they went back, they took back to Laban, they took the gold, and they took the silver, and tremendous possessions. So they've been there for some time. Well, he's living here in town, and as he's living in town here, God comes to him, and he says, "I have looked over your city. I have counted, as the Bible says, my worthies." And there's not many. We don't know how many. There seems to be an indication that maybe some of the prophets were living at the same time that Lehi was there in Jerusalem, like Jeremiah. And so here is God's analysis of Jerusalem. And he says, "Woe. Woe to Jerusalem." That means God has got serious reservations about the city. When God has those kind of feelings, there is going to be some action. Now, I don't know what you feel and what you think, but what I read in the newspaper and what I hear on the news and what I see on day-to-day streets of America, I see the very things that have brought nations down. The very things that if you've ever tried to do a little study on when it's to be ripened in iniquity, those things appear to be not just in an isolated, just here and there, some little specific example. It seems to be rampant. And so I don't think it's far-fetched to understand that we are at least in a woe against America, against Kansas City. We may be at the woe stage, where imminent disaster and judgment is coming. Well, Lehi was there, and he took that seriously. I imagine as a prayerful man that he heard that, he read it, he was filled with the Spirit, and then he had to do something with that information. Now, can you imagine here in our congregation? Maybe, you know, there was a highly respected man of our congregation. Maybe we were at a peak condition whereby the Lord could speak, as he has said that he ought to speak. When you read in Moroni, it talks about in the Book of Mormon, it says, you know, that if these things, the manifestations of God, are not among you, it's because of what? unbelief. But if, say, we had that, and say one of our men stood up, and he said, according to the words of God, "Woe be unto independence." Well, what do we do with that information? Well, we can dispel it. We can not believe it. I don't believe it. I don't think so. We can accept it. Say, yeah, I think God spoke to us today, and I think really indeed that God has said, "Woe be unto independence." But do very little with that information. Or if you believed it, as Father Lehi did something about it. All right, now I was just talking to Brother Warren here just minutes ago. And we were talking about this very thing. I'm sure he probably didn't have this little verse in mind. But he said that he read somewhere or he heard somewhere, he was reminded of something, for which the righteous, there's a benefit in righteousness. Righteousness is right behavior. Righteousness is the right way of God. Well, it says right here, "Thou wilt not suffer those who come unto thee that they shall perish." He's telling that. This understanding here in 1 Nephi, the 13th verse, he has this understanding that judgment is coming against Jerusalem, but the righteous need not fear. He has, I believe, just laid within him, God is going to lay waste this town, but he has us in mind, our Nephi family, and I believe that we're going to be delivered from these judgments that will come. Now this is Lehi's family's journey right here, but it's our journey. This is something that I think we're facing this. I think that we are getting into that final moments of those last days, for which those things that we have read and patrons of the Church of Christ have heard for 150 years, Christians have heard for 2,000 years, I believe they're right on us. But we have that hope right here. It says that the righteous need not fear. He will not suffer that we should perish. I understand that there may be some sacrifices made. I understand that. All right, it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even a dream, that he should depart. Now here we are in independence. In fact, as I posed this question in the ministers' conference, because I feel, and I think most of us do feel, you know, that we are really close to a thing, things happening that we've never seen before. We've read about it, but we've been kind of unbelieving. It's not going to happen in my day. It may happen in my children's day or my grandchildren's day, but I don't think that a lot of us are willing to understand and believe that maybe it's going to happen in our day soon. All right. So what I posed in the ministers' conference, I said, all right, you know, I live out east here, and I've heard all my life, and I'm not suggesting this is what's going to happen, but I've heard all my life that the call went out to come to the temple lot. I've heard that for a multitude of people right here who've had all kind of dreams of it, come to the temple lot. Well, I've thought about that. Well, I'm living out there, kind of close to Jim, kind of we're out in the country. Well, leave that and come here. It wouldn't make any sense to me. And so I see that was hard for Father Lehi. Depart, because I've coming with judgment against Jerusalem, the town that you and your parents and your grandparents have lived in. Well, what did he do? He took his family and he did it. He departed. He left. He heard. He understood. Somehow he was able to ferret out between, I think maybe I'm hearing this and I don't know if this is true, to I know and I'm going to act on this. This is what we're going to do, family. We're leaving. Yeah, but no, we're leaving. Pack your bags. And he was obedient. And I'm telling you that in our day, this is what God is going to demand of his children, that he's going to show his mercy on, is obedience. It's not, well, I think I might. Give me some time. I'm going to think about it. He's going to deal with people who have heard his voice. They know his voice. God knows our voice. He knows our prayers. He knows about us. He knows who his children are. He knows who are inclined to go his way and to be obedient. And he's going to call them. There is a possibility that there's going to be that call right here, but there's going to be maybe some of us who are not going to hear the call. I didn't hear a thing. How many times have you heard people right here for which the Spirit has come? Some of us think that the Spirit was here. Other people sitting there and say, I didn't feel a thing. That's peculiar. But I believe that it's going to demand obedience. It's going to demand obedience, and obedience begins first by demonstrating that you're an obedient child. When we have the Scriptures before us right here, when those Scriptures are talking to us and we're opening up those Scriptures, they're saying to you, Randy Sheldon, this is what I want you to do by the divine inspiration of God. If I'm obedient to that, then God has got, he's got a place of refuge. He's got a place of communication with me based upon my demonstration that I am obeying God. All right. Now, if I have a map, you see one right there. If you got a map in front of you, and if somebody, if we're traveling together and we got the map of the United States out, and if I say, well, let's go down to Mississippi, you would say, going down means what? South. Going south. If I went up, let's go on up to Minnesota. If you'd never seen a map before, you had no idea where Minnesota was, but you understand this concept, you'd be going north. The Book of Mormon says, and he came down by the borders near the Red Sea. Well, the Book of Mormon says that. Joseph Smith may have said that. Joseph Smith in, 29, 30, whatever, before that. Joseph Smith is a young man. I don't know how old he was, maybe 22, I think. He writes all this. And so he writes down what he, in his vivid imagination. He don't have a map like this. But he writes down, and just as fast as he says it, they're writing it down, they're transcribing that. And he says, oh, let's see, I'm going to have Lehi family. I'm going to have them go down. Now, I'm saying this in a way that I'm giving credence to, we're going to give the benefit of the doubt either way. So it says it goes down by the, near the shore of the Red Sea. Well, there's a map of it. That's exactly what it is. And so he starts out in Jerusalem. I wish I had my little pointer. But up there in Jerusalem, you see Jerusalem towards the top. You see the name Israel right there? Well, about an inch above Israel is Jerusalem. So he's taking his family and he left Jerusalem and he's going down. And he's coming down, and he's coming down where? Well, he's coming down by the borders of the Red Sea. Well, there is... On this thing?
No, just on the pad right here. Just move your finger around and see if you don't get
it. Oh, okay. All right. Hey, boy, you learned something right now. All right. So here he is, Jerusalem right here. And so he says he goes down. Is it showing there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. He's going down by the borders of the, what? Red Sea. All right. And it came to pass, Joseph Smith writes, and it came to pass that when he had traveled 3 days in the wilderness, now that doesn't mean 3 days from Jerusalem. He's got an ongoing saga right here. He's traveling. He's got the family, and they got whatever they've got, and they're traveling right here. And it comes to pass that when he had traveled 3 days in the wilderness, he pitched his tent in a valley by the side of a river of water. All right, now look at this. Where's my pointer? All right. This is Saudi Arabia. Do you know anything of Saudi Arabia? I mean, it's the land of Garden of Eden. This Saudi Arabia is flowing with milk and honey and water and greenery. It's desert to the max. Preposterous. Joseph Smith, what are you talking about? You come to a valley in the desert where there's water? Well, that's what he says. And there it is. That's exactly where that is. That river has been found that it flows 24/7, 365 days of the year. Never goes dry. Right there on the borders of the Red Sea. Well, here's this for us. So they're in this valley here, and it'd be wonderful to see their tents. Probably parked here somewhere, and he's looking up those walls of this valley, Father Lehi. And he's talking to Lemuel, and he says, oh, I wish that you was like this valley. Steadfast, immovable, firm. Meaning he's looking into Lemuel, his son. The idea being is, I don't really see that in you, son. I don't see you when it's, yeah, it's been, this journey's been tough. Yeah, we've walked a lot of miles. But I don't see where you've been immovable. I see you're all over the place and you keep looking back up north. I see you keep looking back up to Jerusalem. I can see that's where your heart is, not where God says, I've got a place for you. I have provided refuge. I've got deliverance for you. It doesn't feel like it. It's painful. Our throats are dry. We're wondering what we're going to eat next. But we're walking through the wilderness right here, and it demands immovableness, steadfastness, firmness. Now ask yourself the question. This is probably rather judgmental. Ask yourself the question. Are you firm and immovable and steadfast? If you are, that's great. I tell you what, when I see in the world, I see everything but that. I see everybody that I get to know, and I'm talking about out in the street. Out in people on the job. I see people who are just fretting and stewing and worrying and I don't know what's going to happen and I may not make it. I just heard it this morning. You know, we need to have some scriptures right here because this friend of mine she is in torment and she does not think that God is going to help her, knows her name and has anything to do with her. She thinks she's going just straight to hell. That's what she's saying. We're standing on a rock. Those who are the children of the Lord Most High are standing. And we're going to stand there. We're not going to move from there. Ain't nothing going to come that's going to distract us and remove us from that position that we know is safe. And that's on the Lord. Doesn't matter what happens and how the world passes by right here. We're going to stand on the covenants, on the promises of God. What do we sing that song? Standing on the promises. We'll stand on that. If we're like Lemuel, we need to gird up the loins of our minds. We need to find out where is our faith. We need to be established. We need to be set instead of all over the landscape. Every wind of doctrine that comes blowing in right here. Oh, I think that sounds good. I believe in that today. Tomorrow, maybe some other doctrine, some other whim, some other belief. All right. Now, right here, and you're going to see this a couple of times, maybe three times. If you remember the story there, Nephi has been sent by his father to go get the plates. He goes into Jerusalem. They are a long ways away, but he goes all the way back, an arduous journey, comes all the way back, goes to Jerusalem right here. He has no idea how he's going to get the plates, but he's been told that he's going to be successful to get the plates. He knows that. He says to his brothers, he says something like, God hath not given any promise unless He gives first the way to accomplish it, something like that. So he goes, and he's going to get the plate, and number one obstacle and number one man he's got to deal with is Laban. And he finds him coincidentally laying down there in a drunken stupor. Well, he's laying there, and Laban is there in all of his priestly garb or whatever garb he's got on, but he's rich. And they're laying in the muck in the sewage of his own alcohol right there is this big, beautiful sword. Nephi pulls out that sword. Now, he's looking at that sword. Now, I'm not going to make a big, major point by this, but it is a good point. He's looking at that sword right here, and he is examining the fine steel. Now, this is a character analysis of Nephi. Nephi knows fine steel when he sees it. Nephi has this, and he's looking at this. Now, here this guy could just jump up all of a sudden right here, and it could be a big fight right here, but he's spending time looking at this steel. And he makes that point here in the Book of Mormon. He says, this is good stuff. Keep that in your memory. We're going to be coming back to that two or three times. All right. Now, when he comes back with the records there, Nephi has got the records, and he lays them right on the tent floor of his father Lehi, and he says, I got them, Dad. And Lehi grabs up those records, and he's paging through the records, and he discovers that he is a descendant of Joseph. Now, we're going to come back to that. You need to remember that. He is a descendant of Joseph. He is a relative of the guy that had the coat of many colors out of Egypt. That is our great-great-grandfather. We are relatives of him. We know exactly where our family line is. We can draw a family tree right here. We are related to him, direct mainline blood, right out of Egypt to us. That's significant. Now he says right here, as he's writing what we have in the Book of Mormon, he's writing this record, he writes in there, he says, I'm not going to write the things that the world likes. I'm going to write only those things that are pleasing to God. What does your life write? As a side issue right here in God's mind towards the world. He doesn't write the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's the world. And I'm sorry. We've got some of us who love that. Some of us who, you know, I bet you if you look real close, why, there I am. Hey, you know, that I like that excitement, that electricity. I like, you know, all the partying and all the, you know, everything. It's wild. I like it. The love of the Father is not in you, if that's the case. When I'm tuning in on the TV, when I'm going to a movie somewhere, oh, I like that. I've got that stuff. We do day by day demonstrate where our allegiances are. Those people have demonstrated, probably from all corners of the world, at least the United States, have come there for Mardi Gras. Spend good money. Come there for that. I would that, and I believe it's here, that if Mardi Gras came and we were in one of those hotels and we heard that there is a meeting of the Church of Christ just down the road in the bayou, only going to be 10 of us there, that's where we would go. All right. So now, here is Father Lehi, and he's got his family. And it says that we traveled for the space of 4 days nearly a south-southeast direction, and we did pitch our tents. Where's my little marker? All right. He was right there. That's exactly where that river of water is in that valley. And he's going this way. Now, would anybody want to tell me what direction that is? South, southeast. Nearly a south, southeast. Boy, Joseph Smith, you are good at doing that writing. Your imagination is tremendous. And we did pitch our tents again, and we did call the name of the place Shazer. All right? That's what the Book of Mormon says. Now, oftentimes, I run into this all the time when I'm dealing with the Book of Mormon. There is nothing in the Bible that talks about the Book of Mormon. There is no artifacts. There's no evidence. You cannot support the Book of Mormon. Except just the fact that you just got pure faith. That's all you're relying on. They came to a place called Shazer, southeast direction. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says they are come even unto Jazer. Now, down below right there, I've got parenthetically names that I just pulled out of the Bible. Isaias versus Isaiah, both of them in the Bible. Same guy. Jeremias versus Jeremiah. All in the Bible. Same person, name somewhat different. Hosea versus Joshua. There's a bunch of them. All right. They are even come unto Jazer. Now I ask the question is, who is they? Who are they? They is Lehi and his family. I'm absolutely convinced of that. They, Lehi and his family, wandered through the wilderness. First Nephi, came to pass, we traveled, we wandered for the space of 4 days. They wandered through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. If I'm going south, southeast direction, what's going to stop me? The sea. If I go east, what's going to stop me? It says right here, her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. In this place called Jazer. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Now, what Joseph is this? Joseph of Egypt. This Joseph of Egypt, Genesis 49:22. I am a descendant of Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Now, Nahum says that the wall is the sea. This fruitful branches run over the wall. We did pitch our tents by Jazer. They wandered through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. On the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. And Joseph has always been separate from his brethren. He went to Egypt. His brethren remained there in Israel. He's separate. When he come over the sea, he was separate from his brother. They're still over there in that part of the country. All right, back again to Nephi and his appreciation for steel. Came to pass that I, Nephi, went forth to slay food, behold, I did break my bow, which was made of fine steel. I look for it. I didn't find any reference to Laman and Lemuel having bows made of steel. But Nephi has got a bow. He loves steel. It's in him. Is to love this. Now hold on to that. Well, I'm going to Still pursue it. They find this round ball called the Lihona. They found this round ball right here. And he was fascinated by this. But anyway, this ball right here, it worked all the time. No. Fact is, sometimes it flat out wouldn't work at all. But it worked by only a couple of methods. Faith and diligence and heed. All right? We've got a round ball. As I was told by some person right here, this is just so much just garbage. I'm not saying that. But this is worthless to us. This does not help a soul. This, I can carry this all day long. I can carry this, I'm sorry, down to you know where. I can carry this in church. I can carry it wherever I go. It has no effect on me whatsoever. None. Unless I pay heed and diligence. This faith right here, I've got faith that this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. I've got faith this is the Word of God. Diligence is that I can hear on a Sunday in Sunday school class, I can open up this and we can sit down and we can share scriptures and I can be diligent and I can, oh, I know where that scripture is. And I find it. When I have the faith and I've looked for it, and then I pay heed to it. Meaning that translates into it changes my life. It affected me. I don't do the thing that I used to do. Down there, you've heard this before, but as an example of this, down in Honduras, we quote the scripture right here. It says that anybody calls anybody fool, he says that you're in danger of hellfire. They heard that. Man, their heed was 20 miles long. And they looked at each other right here and said, we can't do that anymore. They paid heed to it. That meant and had a profound effect on them. That word fool has got to disappear from our vocabulary. Came to pass that Ishmael died. We got that in the Book of Mormon. He died and was buried in a place which was called Nahum. All right. Now here they came. They're coming south, southeast direction. And they come to this little place right here called Nahum. There is, my friends, there is no place called Nahum. We don't believe that. We don't believe that, you know, that's a good story. You know, Joseph, there is no place. You just made that up. Well, I think it was in 1992. They dug right there. They dug in the sand and they dug out a rock pillar. And that rock pillar had on it NHM. If you live in this country right here or in Israel right here, they don't have vowels. Nahum. Nahum. They found it. Not only did they find it, but it is a graveyard. And they happened to bury Ishmael right there, just as the Book of Mormon says. All right, it came to pass that we took our journey and we traveled east. It just says that. Now, where would you be if you traveled east? Well, if you're traveling east from Nahum, that's going to put you on the shore of Oman, present day Oman, right there on the seashore. Well, that's good writing. Sounds good. And we did come to the land which we call Bountiful because of its much fruit and also wild honey. So Joe Smith said that Lehi and family, they went directly east across the Saudi Arabia Peninsula. And Joseph Smith said in this book right here, he says that we came in this forsaken desert right here, we came to a place that is loaded with, it was so loaded with fruit and goodies right here that we called it Bountiful. If you had wild honey, if you've got wild honey, what do you have? What do you have to have if you have wild honey, Donnie? You gotta have bees. If you've got bees, you've got pollination. If you got pollination, you've got things growing up. That's an actual photograph of that spot. Right there in Oman on the seashore. That's the fruit market they've got right there. Pretty good. Pretty good guess, wouldn't you say? While they're in Bountiful right here, it says, it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had been in the land of Bountiful for the space of many days, the voice of the Lord came unto me, saying, arise and get thee unto the mountain. He's there. He is down below here. These cliffs are 2,000 feet high. He is down on they're down on the seashore right here, and the Lord says, get up the cliff. Go, you know, and go into the mountain. Well, here you see 2,000 foot up here. And what have we got here? He's going to the mountain. Right there. Now, what do you think that Nephi said? Do you think that Nephi said, get Laman or Lemuel to do that? He was obedient. It came to pass, the Lord spake unto me, saying, thou shalt construct a ship after the manner which I shall show thee. You are here away from Jerusalem. You're away from everywhere and any resource that would permit you to build a ship. We're dealing with a man who has got within him the understandings and insight of metal. What do you think that Joseph's question, Nephi's question is to the Lord? What would you imagine? Glenn, what would it be?
Where will I get the tools?
Whether shall I go that I may find ore to molten that I may make tools? Right there. There's two places that I understand on the face of the earth that iron ore is on the surface. Do you see? What are you looking at right here? What is that? Right here. Right there. Where you can reach down and pick up the iron ore off the ground. Pretty amazing. Now, in this journey that Father Lehi is going, as he came down through this great wilderness right here, why don't we would prefer, since we're going to the sea, why don't we cut across here, get a boat right here, and then go out to sea? A lot easier, a lot faster, time efficient. Do you think that he'd have made it? He's going to go just exactly where God has led him to go. And we're going to go just exactly, if we are like Father Lehi and Nephi, we're going to go exactly how he wants it. All right. Now here in this fifth chapter it says, behold, these many years we have suffered, and this is Laman and Lemuel talking. We have missed out on our possessions, on our inheritance. We've been abused by you and by this trek for these 8, 10, 12, 15 years that we've been traveling in the wilderness. We know that we had riches, had a nice fine home, we had all of that, and where are we? We're out here, no telling what's going to happen to us. And then they say, we know. Now you need to listen to this. We know that the people who were in the land of Jerusalem were a righteous people. That's probably easy to say. What I say is, Laman and Lemuel, who says they're righteous? What parameter do you call righteousness? Now, you take a guy out in the world, and this guy out in the world, you know, he'll probably come over and help you with your car. We was on a missionary visit, and we're having a little study with a little family. And this neighbor comes in, and this neighbor, man, I mean, he's a good neighbor. Boy, he helps him with a car, he helps him with a house. He loans him money. He does all kind of stuff right here. He's a good neighbor. So we're sitting there, and while we're having this little study, he comes in there and says, hey, what are you guys doing? The lady of the house says, well, we're having a study. Would you like to join us? He says, what have I got to do with that? Not interested. Probably if you asked him, I'm righteous because I help my neighbors. I'm righteous because I do good things. He's righteous based on his own righteousness. He's righteous based on what he thinks righteousness is. Righteousness is governed by God, not by us. We don't decide that we're righteous enough. I don't decide. Whatever foibles I've got, I don't decide it's okay. You know, God's gonna pour on the grace. Pour the blood on right here. It's okay right here. He's held a standard right here, and he's calling me up to a higher standard. If I refuse that, then I'm like Laman and Lemuel right here who are saying, I know that I'm righteous. I know that the people of Jerusalem are righteous. Well, God seen that it was necessary to destroy those righteous people that Laman and Lemuel speaking of in Jerusalem, rubbed them out. That is the mind of God right there. He that is righteous is favored. Now, you've heard, and I've seen it, I've seen total chaos in the lives of some people. I've seen absolute, just major breakdown and hysteria and calamity, one thing after another. You've seen it. That doesn't sound favored to me. It didn't sound from the beginning of a marriage to the end of the marriage right here. And it's just total chaos and shambles and division and rancor and hatred and fighting and dysfunction. That didn't sound like favor to me. But he that is righteous. And I want to tell you, that's been my judgmental observation, if you want to look at it that way. There are families and there are people that I have looked at. I see favor. I see, wow. Man, they have got it together. I see blessedness. I see that wherever they go, they're dropping blessings. I see that the money comes in and the money goes out. I see the blessings come in and the blessings are bestowed. I see peace and security. I see people who are standing on that rock, who have ordered their life according to the standards of God. They're favored. They are richly blessed. I can see it, and you can too. On the other hand, I can see where there's this question, just like I was asked this morning. You know, where is God? How come I've got all this horror in my life? And he loveth, and he is God, loveth those who will have him to be their God. Not they're going to have, not that their own God, that I'm going to do it my way. This is the way that I've chosen right here. They are the children. They are the children of God. They want him to be their God, their overseer, their commander. Can you imagine that? You know, where God, he wants to command his children. And some of that command, just like with Father Lehi, I mean, that is hard. Father Lehi, I want you to leave. Well, if God was not the God of Father Lehi, he wouldn't have left. For those of us right here who want to be the children of God, he's got demands upon us. He's asking of us strong things. He's asking things right here. You know, like someone said a long time ago, he said, Lord, give me patience. If you pray that prayer, you better duck. Because the trial to perfect your patience is on its way. But those are people who would have him be their God. I know it's better that way. I know that your way is better, and I've got to have it that way. Here's a man, Nephi, who God was his God. He was the one that fought tooth and toenail his brothers. His brothers resisted their father from the beginning. He was the one who, I believe that we can get the plates. I believe that God is going to direct us in our journey. I'm resting on that. And how did he get that? He went to the mountain often. That's how he got it. He was on his knees and he was praying. He was a praying man. I've heard that. I mean, I've said this before, but there's a book that was written. I read it years ago, and it was a fictional story about the contending powers of the devil and God, how this all works together. And I'm not trying to sell you the book. It made a point there that just got me. And the devils was having a big old convention. They were down deep in a school warehouse basement. And they're down there plotting out how they're going to take over this town. And so they're talking about their scheme, and one devil piped up and he says, you're all talking about it's an easy hit to take this town right here. He said, but you got a problem. Well, they all stopped and chuffed their yellow sulfur breath right here. He said, what is the problem? The problem is the praying man. The problem for the devil is the praying man or woman. And that's not a problem. And what a joy that is to take time out of your eternity to seek the Lord your God while he can be found. Take the time whereby you go often right here and commune with him, because he wants to talk to us. He wants to hear our voices. Well, this whole journey, Nephi and Lehi and family right here, hard, full of pitfalls, all kind of difficulties. But they arrived at the sea. Nephi built that boat, and they arrived at the promised land. Because they paid heed and diligence. They listened to God. They had counted themselves as children of God. This is our journey. It's not going to be any less difficult for us than it is for them. It's not, you know, if I was a rich businessman, and I was going to give you untold wealth, tell you what, I'd make you work for it. Hey, you know, I'm not giving this. I work with a guy, and this guy had a rich grandmother, really rich. And the grandmother had written out the deed or the will. They'd written out the will, my grandson, these hundreds of thousands of dollars are yours. The estate is yours. All of the wealth of my inheritance is yours. But to receive this wealth, you've got to work until you're 63 years old. I hate this job. I'm 51 right now. You know, I want to quit this job. I want the money. Just give me the money. You can't have the money until you finish. We can't have the promised land until we have gone to the mountain and we've prayed often. Until we have paid heed and diligence to the things and the ways of God. It's not going to be given to us by thinking that somehow we can do this without the Lord having something to say about our lives. And He wants to say something to our lives. He wants to make of us a fighting force of sterling righteousness and love. He wants to cover us and protect us, but He wants to lead us for all those that would have Him be our God. The end result is the promised land. The end result is the riches of eternity. Let this little lesson by Nephi and Lehi have an effect on your life. God bless you.